Welcome to Spotlight on Science at the Smithsonian. I'm David Evans, Undersecretary for Science. This is Volume 4, Number 10, released on May 12, 2006. In this installment of Spotlight on Science, we'll start by looking at the remnants of supernova, the result of exploding stars. Researchers at the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory are using radio and infrared images to find supernova remnants. Back on Earth, we'll look at research performed in South Africa's Karoo Basin. Smithsonian scientists are examining fossil records there to better understand the Permian-Triassic extinction. This massive species extinction resulted in the disappearance of up to 96% of all living species. In a study of plant fossils from South Africa, Smithsonian researchers are examining the effect that climate change may have had on the size of forests and overall plant diversity. Finally, we'll look at research tracking the movement of sand dunes in California's Ibex Valley. This research updates a classic two-dimensional tracking of sand dunes into three dimensions through the use of measurements from highly accurate differential global positioning systems.
First, we look at the supernova problem. Some stars, very massive ones for example, end their lives in supernova explosions. All that's left behind from such a supernova is a diffuse, faint bubble of hot gas called a supernova remnant, SNR, and perhaps a very compact ember of material in the form of a neutron star or black hole. Supernovae are interesting to astronomers for several reasons. First, they disperse into the cosmos all of the elements spawned inside their progenitor star. For example, most of the elements above helium in the periodic table. Also, they can be used as standard candles to estimate cosmic distances. Finally, they tell the story of the end of some stars' lives. The current understanding of stars and supernovae suggests there ought to be over 1,000 SNRs in our Milky Way galaxy, but only about 231 are known. Astronomers are therefore anxious to know whether this dearth reflects some misunderstanding about SNRs, or is simply the result of the inadequate sensitivity of the searches that have been made looking for them. A new search for supernova remnants has discovered 35 new ones in one region of the sky, increasing the total number of known SNRs in our galaxy by 15%. And strongly suggesting, if every section of the sky likewise harbors a similar fraction of SNRs, that the current ideas about SNRs are correct. A team of five astronomers, including Center for Astrophysics astronomer Brian Gensler and student Joseph Gelfand, used radio and infrared images to detect the new objects situated in the midst of bright background nebulosity. Their survey probed much deeper than previous searches in that part of the sky. The newly discovered objects not only provide reassuring confirmation that current thinking about supernovae is accurate, they offer other insights as well. For example, it's thought that massive stars form in clusters, and the newly discovered SNRs themselves appear to be clustered together, just as they would be if their progenitor stars formed together and stayed together during their lifetimes. Now we turn to the Permian-Triassic mass extinction. The Permian-Triassic boundary, or PTR, was marked by the greatest mass extinction of the last 600 million years of Earth history. During this extinction, up to 96% of species disappeared. Nearly 90% of marine species and 65% of reptile species went extinct. Insects also suffered their greatest mass extinction in Earth's history. The events may have varied regionally in magnitude and timing, and the effects on land may not coincide with the effects in the oceans. In order to further understand the loss of terrestrial diversity at this critical time, Museum of Natural History scientist Conrad Labandiera and his colleagues examined plant fossils in South Africa's Karoo Basin. The Karoo Basin covers nearly two-thirds of South Africa and provides an ideal site for scientists to collect fossils from a 45-million-year interval spanning the PTR. Comparing fossil plant remains from numerous sites in the Karoo Basin allows scientists to better understand how plants, insects, and especially their associations were impacted by the extinction. It also provides insight into how they rediversified during the subsequent Triassic period. For the past 5 years, Labandiera has done fieldwork in the Karoo Basin. He has also evaluated plant-insect associations from earlier field collections at the University of the Witwatersrand in Johannesburg for Permian material and at the South African National Biodiversity Institute in Pretoria for Triassic material. His recently published paper presents a record of the outcome of the physical, chemical, and biological processes that operated within the Karoo Basin at the PTR. It concludes that the changing landscape through time had a definite preservational effect on which plant assemblages became fossilized, and therefore care must be taken when drawing conclusions about extinction based on surviving species. Moving from fossil to living plants, we now look at neotropical plant diversity. The tropical rainforests of South America have extremely high plant diversity. Tracking the evolution of neotropical plant diversity has been difficult due to the limited fossil record. In order to further understanding of the plant diversity, Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute scientist Carlos Jaramillo and his colleagues compiled data of the fossil pollen record from 16 to 82 million years ago, the Paleocene to the early Miocene. They used this data to correlate the pollen record with global temperature estimates from 20 to 65 million years ago. Using samples from central Colombia and western Venezuela, the study analyzed pollen and spore content to determine flora diversity over time. The Paleocene had low diversity, which greatly increased through the Middle Eocene and then decreased again through the early Oligocene. This was followed by another spike in diversity and decline from the middle of the Oligocene to the early Miocene. This overall pattern corresponds well to the trends in global temperatures over the same period of time. Species diversity tends to increase with warmer global temperatures and decrease as the planet cools. This affects the tropics, even though the local average temperature in the tropics does not change much. Episodes of global warming have correlated with an increase in the area of tropical climates, and global cooling has led to shrinkage of tropical areas, thereby decreasing species diversity. These results are published in the 31 March 2006 issue of Science. These findings suggest that climate change may influence the size of the forested areas, thus influencing plant biodiversity in the neotropics. Conservation efforts which provide isolated pockets of rainforest to be protected, while allowing continued destruction and fragmentation, may not be enough to prevent long-term declines in biodiversity. Finally, we look at how scientists are monitoring shifting sands. Sand dunes that have three or more arms branching from the central dune mass are called star dunes. They tend to form where strong winds blow across the region from multiple directions. Researchers at the National Air and Space Museum's Center for Earth and Planetary Studies, or SEPS, are monitoring subtle changes taking place in a series of star dunes in California near Death Valley. The combination of pristine active dunes within a protected area and the Precision Differential Global Positioning System, or DGPS, capabilities now available make the IBEX dunes an excellent location to document the variability of sand movement on dunes. DGPS allows researchers to measure precise, real-time positional information. By occupying a fixed reference point during each trip, they were able to document the three-dimensional location of the crests along the arms of the sand dunes. One particular dune was surveyed previously using older DGPS equipment, involving post-processing instead of real-time data techniques, so that we can now see how that dune has changed over a time span of nearly 3 years. The new monitoring techniques allow the scientists to evaluate the summit of a dune that has now been surveyed on three time points with time and position accuracy in a remote location. The summit of this dune has shifted 4.24 meters west-southwest and rose 0.53 meters from 2203 to 1605, then shifted 5.49 meters north-northeast and rose another 0.74 meters from 1605 to 1117.05. Annual resurveying of the IBEX dunes is planned to continue to monitor changes. Sand movement studies help us to understand the processes that shape the Earth. Further research relating the changes in the dune position and shape to storm winds is planned. That's all for this issue of Spotlight on Science at the Smithsonian. If you haven't already subscribed to the Spotlight podcast, visit spotlight.si.edu to learn how. You can also download archived editions of Spotlight. As always, feel free to share your thoughts with the Spotlight team at spotlight@si.edu.